Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of our series, Draw Near, A Life of Prayer and Fasting. My name is Scott Thomas, pastor at Lone Oak First Baptist Church and your host for the Shaped by Scripture podcast. Now, over the past several weeks, we've explored what it means to seek God through prayer, to bring our worries to Him, to pursue Him through fasting, and to cultivate a life that's centered on His presence. Today, we conclude this journey by focusing on a powerful statement found in James 5:16. This verse teaches us something every believer needs to understand. God hears and responds to the prayers of His people. James writes this. He says in chapter 5, verse 16, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Now, this verse captures both the privilege and the power of prayer. It reminds us that prayer is not empty religious activity. Prayer is not a spiritual exercise designed to make us feel better about ourselves, but prayer is a God-given means through which His people communicate with Him and participate in His work. Prayer matters because God listens. Prayer has power because God acts. Now, James presents two ideas that belong together. First, believers are called to confess their sins. Second, believers are called to pray. The result is spiritual healing, restored fellowship, and the powerful work of God among His people. Now, as we conclude this series, I want us to consider what it means to pray prayers that move heaven, not because we possess extraordinary abilities, but because we serve an extraordinary God. James wrote in his letter, he wrote his letter to Jewish Christians scattered throughout the Roman world. These believers faced trials, temptations, suffering, and persecution. Throughout the letter, James repeatedly calls them to authentic faith. He wants them to live lives that demonstrate genuine devotion to Christ. When James reaches chapter 5, he focuses on the role of prayer within Christian community. The surrounding verses mention prayer in times of suffering, prayer in times of joy, prayer for the sick, and prayer for restoration. Prayer becomes the natural response for every circumstance of life. At the center of this discussion stands James 5:16. Notice that James begins with confession. Therefore, he writes, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another." Now, confession, we've got to be honest, is not a popular topic in many churches today. People often prefer privacy when it comes to personal struggles, yet James, he teaches that honest confession has an important place in the life of God's people. Confession means agreeing with God about our sin. It means bringing hidden things into light. It means acknowledging where we failed, where we've disobeyed, and where we need God's grace. And Scripture consistently teaches that sin damages fellowship. Sin affects our relationship with God, it affects our relationship with others, and even our spiritual effectiveness. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." David, who wrote that, he understood that unconfessed sin creates barriers in our spiritual life. God desires hearts that are honest before Him. So confession, it's really not designed to produce shame. Confession is designed to lead us towards healing. When we confess our sins to God, we experience forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 reminds us, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What a remarkable promise that verse is. So God, His forgiveness is not reluctant. His forgiveness is faithful. and it's complete. Through Christ, every sin can be washed away. James, in the first part of this verse, he also emphasizes confession within the community of believers. This does not mean public disclosure of every personal struggle. It means cultivating relationships where honesty, accountability, encouragement, and prayer can flourish. The Christian life was never intended to be lived in isolation. Believers carry burdens that become heavier because they carry them alone. Secret sins often grow stronger in secrecy. Temptation gains influence in darkness. Shame thrives where there's silence. But God designed the church to be a community of grace, where believers pray for one another, encourage one another, and walk alongside each other. And in this, healing often follows. James says, pray for one another that you may be healed. The healing James describes includes spiritual restoration. It includes the healing that comes when broken relationships are reconciled. It includes the healing that occurs when guilt is replaced by forgiveness and when isolation is replaced by fellowship. Prayer and confession work together because both require humility. Prayer says, I need God. Confession says, I need grace. You see, pride, it resists both of those, but humility embraces both. The person who prays effectively is not necessarily the person who has everything together. The person who prays effectively is the person who understands his or her dependence upon God. James then makes one of the most encouraging statements in all of Scripture, and I want you to hear this. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What exactly does that mean? Well, some people read this verse and immediately assume it applies only to spiritual giants. They imagine famous pastors or missionaries or other heroes of the faith. Yet James is speaking to ordinary believers. Remember, this is written to ordinary Christians that are scattered all over the Roman Empire. The righteous person is not someone who has achieved perfection. The righteous person is someone who has been made right with God through faith and who seeks to walk in obedience to Him. Now, let's hold on to that one. The righteous person is someone who has been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ and someone who seeks to walk in obedience to Him. Now, every believer in Christ has access to God through Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Think about that for a moment. The Creator of the universe invites His children into His presence. The God who spoke galaxies into existence welcomes our prayers. The King of Kings listens when His people call upon Him. Prayer possesses power because prayer connects us to the God who possesses all power. Sometimes people, they'll misunderstand prayer. They think prayer is about convincing God to do what they want. But prayer is actually about aligning ourselves with God's purposes while trusting His wisdom and power. Prayer changes things because God works through prayer. Throughout Scripture, we see examples of God responding to the prayers of His people. Moses, here's some Old Testament examples. Moses prayed and God intervened on behalf of Israel. Hannah prayed and God provided a son. Hezekiah prayed and God extended his life. Daniel prayed and God revealed His purposes. In the New Testament, the early church prayed. And on more than one instance, when the early church prayed, God opened doors, sometimes literal doors, other times they were figurative. Again and again, Scripture presents prayer as a means through which God accomplishes His purposes. James immediately provides an example. In the next verses, verses 17 and 18, he writes, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain." This example is incredibly important. And you know, when you read those verses, as simple as they are, James doesn't present Elijah as a superhero. He specifically says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I mean, he's just like us. He experienced fear and discouragement, exhaustion, moments of weakness. Yet God worked powerfully through his prayers. And why was that? Because Elijah trusted God. The effectiveness is not found in human strength. The effectiveness of prayer is found in God's faithfulness. Many believers, and you might be one of these, they struggle with prayer because they focus on their own inadequacies. They think, I don't know enough, my prayers aren't eloquent, I haven't been a Christian long enough, I don't pray like other people. But James would point us away from ourselves and point us back towards God, which is, again, one of the primary purposes of prayer. The power of prayer has never depended upon the person praying. The power of prayer depends upon the God who hears. This truth should encourage every believer listening today. You don't need perfect words. You really don't need impressive language or a polished presentation. You simply need a sincere heart that seeks God. As we reflect on prayer that moves heaven, it is also important to remember that God answers prayer according to his wisdom. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. And sometimes God says later. The Apostle Paul prayed repeatedly for the removal of a thorn in his flesh. God did not remove it. Instead, God provided sufficient grace. Paul learned that God's answer was not a denial of love. God's answer was an expression of wisdom. Prayer is not about controlling outcomes. Prayer is about trusting God's character. Every person that prays is resting upon the confidence that God knows what is best. This confidence allows believers to pray boldly while resting in God's sovereignty. As we bring our prayers to the Lord, we are saying what Jesus said, not our will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to share with you a final encouragement, if I could, about prayer. You know, it's often been said that prayer changes things. And in my experience, there is some truth to that, but not always absolute truth to it. What do I mean by that? Well, it's true that prayer changes things, but prayer doesn't always change the things around us. What prayer always changes is when we truly pray, prayer changes the prayer. It changes our heart. Sometimes it changes the circumstances or the situations that we're in. But if we're truly praying, if we're surrendering ourselves to the Lord and depending upon his power, what it does is it changes us in the midst of the circumstance. The clouds may still be around us, the storm may be raging, but friends, in the midst of the storm, the prayer is being changed. We see the storm as not being all-encompassing and all-powerful, but we see the Lord, who has control over the storm, being ready to work. And that's something the Bible teaches us consistently about the character of God. God is ready and willing to work according to his will and his purposes. And so when we pray, we align ourselves with God and we put ourselves in a position whereby we are waiting and we're watching. And while we wait and while we are watching, we are seeing that God continues to be in control. A life of prayer. Prayer should become as natural as breathing for the believer. Pray when you wake up. Pray throughout the day. Pray when you're facing decisions. Pray when you're experiencing joy. Pray when you're carrying burdens. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Pray for your community. Pray for your pastor and your life group leader. Pray for the leaders that are around you. Pray for those who do not know Christ. Pray for spiritual growth. Pray for wisdom. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. And when you pray, remember James 5:16. Remember that God invites honesty, that confession brings healing, that prayer has power, that God hears and that God works. The same God who answered the prayers of Elijah still reigns today. The same God who sustained the early church through persecution and trials and pressures still reigns today. The same God who forgives sinners, restores the broken, and transforms lives still reigns today. He has not changed. His power It hasn't diminished. His promises remain true. So friends, let me invite you. Be an active prayer. Draw near to God. Come to Him with humility and confidence and honesty and faith. And discover that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I want to thank you for joining me for this concluding episode of Shaped by Scripture's series, Draw Near. It's been a joy to look at prayer and fasting over the past several weeks, and I pray that God has been shaping your life, your practice, and your faith through the memorization and the study of His Word. I want to invite you to be ready. After a week break, we're going to jump in the month of July. We're going to jump into a new series called Stand Firm, where we're going to look at spiritual warfare and what the Bible says to do with it, how to handle it, how to interact with it, and how to come out the other side victorious. So I pray that you will join me for this upcoming series, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of Shaped by Scripture. May God continue to shape you by His Scripture.